We discussed so far this Masechta, how much money is collected, from whom the money is collected, when the money is collected. And now, as we begin the fourth parak of Shkalim, we're going to be discussing allocations, where the money goes towards. We are starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of Testament Beis. The Mishnah begins, Truma Mahayu Asim Bo. So what do you do with the Truma? So remember that with all the monies that are collected into the Lishka, so there is going to be a Truma, there's going to be a withdrawal that's done. The withdrawal is done 3 times a year. So as we already described numerous times, but here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah here is going to be giving us the basic information in terms of the Truma itself. So the withdrawal money is going to be going towards the carbon seaboard. And the Mishnah begins, the Truma Ma Yu Osimba. So what do you do with the Truma? Lo Chimba. To me, the Musafim. So you buy the carbon tummy, the daily carbonates that are offered once in the morning, once in the afternoon. All the Musafim, Shabbos, there's a Musaf, Yantar, there's a Musaf, Rosh Chodesh, there's a Musaf, as outlined in Parshas Pinchas. Vindiskeim, and also all the Nusachim that go together with the Karbanos HaOmer, the Karban Omer, which is the second day of Pesach, Ushtei Alechem, which is offered on Shavuos, V'lechem Apanim, which is, I'd say offered. The Lechem Apanim is not necessarily offered, it's left on the Shulchan on a weekly basis, baked on Friday, put on the Shulchan on Shabbos, eaten by the Kohanim the following Shabbos. So the Chol Karbanos and Sibur, and every Karban Sibur as well. So they are all going to be purchased with the money that is taken with the Trumas HaLishka, with the 3 withdrawals that are done from the Lishka on an annual basis. And remember, the Karbanos have to be purchased with this year's money. Fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, ends on the last day of Adar of that year. So all the monies that are raised, that are collected in the month of Adar, now with the first day of Nisan, all those karbanos are going to be purchased with that, with particularly those monies. Shomer Tzvichim B'Shvi'is. The Mishnah over here now is going to give us the detail, which is going to bring us to really a much larger topic, and that's the following. So we know that during the Shemitah year, so you're not allowed to work the land. Now when it comes to trees, so the trees are going to produce fruit during the Shemitah year. However, things that have to be planted, like grains and like vegetables, the truth of the matter is that there's not going to be that much produce and there's not going to be that much yield. However, if there is any growth that comes from the land, let's say seeds were put into the ground or let's say leftover seeds from the previous year, and you do have some growth in the Shemitah year. So are you allowed to eat that growth? The answer is yes. That's Peir Shvi'is. Peir Shvi'is has Kedusha. And there's a mitzvah to eat Peir Shvi'is. We just recently, in the daf, and it comes up numerous times, the idea behind Biur, that there comes a point in time in the season that that fruit has to be destroyed, but the fruit and the produce that grows on its own during the Shemitah year, so that is what's called Peir Shvi'is. It has Kedusha Shvi'is. Now, that's step number one. Step number two is that the truth of the matter is that during the Shemitah year, we do need some produce. Specifically, we need grains. Because remember that we have 2 karbanos that are offered, 2 menachos that are offered, which are carbon sebor, and they come from grains. Notably, the omer, the carbon omer, the second day of Pesach, which is a barley offering, and there's also the shtei alechem, which is a wheat offering that's offered on Shavuos. So we actually need barley grain for the omer, and we need wheat grain for the shtei alechem. So how is that going to happen during the Shemitah year? Now remember, during the Shemitah year, all the fields are ownerless. All the produce that grows on it is ownerless. Everyone can help themselves to it. So you could really arrive at a situation in which we're not going to have any barley, we're not going to have any wheat by the time we get to Pesach and by the time we get to Shavuos. So what do you do? So you do something during the Shemitah, which you normally are not allowed to do, which is that you're gonna guard designated fields, designated barley fields, designated wheat fields, so that we will have the requisite amount of wheat and barley necessary for these karbanos. Now the shomrim, those people that are guarding the fields, so they're gonna get paid. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash is going to pay them. The reason why we're gonna articulate in just a moment, where is that money coming from? So that's what our mission is now teaching us. Shomrim Tzvichim B'Shvi'is. That when we have the watchers who are watching the fields, in order to ensure that we have barley and wheat for the Omer and Shtei Alechem respectively, So we're going to pay them with the money from the Trumas Halishka. Notlim Scharim Trumas Halishka. That's how they're going to get paid. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afarotzim is not Divshar Mechinam. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that, you know what? If somebody wants to volunteer guarding the field without getting paid, that would be fine. So Afata Omer, Amrulo. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yossi, look, it's very nice, it's lovely that people would volunteer their time in order to guard a field, in order to have barley and wheat for these karbanos. But the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yossi, that is a terrible idea. It's a wonderful idea, but it's a terrible idea. Because Afata Omer She'in Bain Ela Mishal Tzibor, because here's the problem. The problem is that if they're guarding it and they're doing it on a volunteer basis, so it could very well be that the barley and the wheat that comes now on the field is going to be theirs, meaning that because they're not getting paid, so they're going to assume their payment in the form of the barley and in terms of the wheat. Then what they're going to do is they're going to bring that to the base of Mikdash as a carbon seabor. The problem is that that's private money. And private money cannot be used for a carbon seabor. Carbon seabor has to be collected money. So they say to Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yossi, that if you allow people to volunteer guarding these fields, so then the yield, the produce is going to be now private property acquired by the guards as in lieu of their payment. And then what they're going to do is then subsequently they're going to turn around and give it to the base of Mikdash. And you're no longer they're no longer offering a carbon seabor. They're only offering a carbon yachid. And the carbon, by definition, has to be a carbon seabor. So, the Chachamim reject the idea of Rabbi Yossi. And that'll play into a big part of today's daf. Is it possible for there to be any kind of private donation offered to the base of Mikdash and having that private donation convert into public funds? So clearly Rabbi Yossi is comfortable with that idea. Clearly the Chachamim are uncomfortable with that idea. And we're going to come back and we're going to be discussing this numerous times in the first half of today's daf. We start with the Gemara. So Ma'raz Manatze Kohanim Va'amanli Manos. So we're going to start now with the following. Just a quick history lesson. We went back to Eretz Yisrael to build by Sheni. Right? We keep going back to this moment of time. It was, on one hand, it was Geula. We experienced the redemption in terms of now the ability to go back and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, it was extraordinarily understated. It was very muted. A fraction of the Jewish people decided to go back with Ezra in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. 40,000 around Jews came back with Ezra, even though at the time, hundreds of thousands of Jews, probably even more. But anyway, so only a fraction of the Jewish people came back, and in terms of building the Beis HaMikdash, they had very serious challenges. Notably, when they went to collect in order to have operations for the Beis HaMikdash, so you're talking about collecting from a very small pool of people, and they simply did not have the requisite funds necessary just to even operate the Beis HaMikdash. So you had a couple of a family step up and basically make donations to the Beis HaMikdash. In this particular case, this Mishnah, which we're learning together, it's based on a Mishnah in Tanis, on Dav Chavav. So the Mishnah in Tanis describes how there were 9 families. Each one of them took it upon themselves that on one day of the year, we're actually going to describe one of those calendar dates, on one day of the year, these 9 families would make a significant donation of wood. So Mara Azman, with all that stated, now let's go to the Mishnah in Tanis. Let's see it together. Mara Azman Atze Kawanim Ba'am Lehimanos. We counted these actual 9 dates. So Ela B'Shah Shalom Yisom and Agola. So here the Gemara now is going to give us the history in an even more condensed version than I gave it. So we came back to Eretz Yisrael V'lom Matzu Eitzim B'Lishka. There was just simply not enough wood in the Beis HaMikdash. V'amdu Eilev Nisdavdu Eitzim Mishal Atzman. So these families then came along and they donated wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Umasim Latzibor. Now what they did is they basically converted, they transferred it over into the public funds, meaning they turned it into a carbon seabor. Vakarva Mahem Carbon Seabor. Now obviously that wood served as the fuel in order to burn the carbonos. Vihismi Mahem Nevim Shabinaim. Now, the Nevim that were living there amongst them, now remember, this is the beginning of Bayesheni. So these Nevim that we're describing are the last Nevim of the Jewish people. There were no more Nevi'im after the beginning of Vayesheni. Ezra, Nehemiah, they were the last, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, they were the last of the Nevi'im. But they instituted the following. And that Shafilu Lishka Malei hates them, even though there's going to be come a point in time where there's going to be enough money. Enough Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and the collections are going to get much stronger, and there will be enough money to fund even the wood for the Beis HaMikdash. However, Amdu Elevitis Davdu Eitzim Mishalatzman. So, but nevertheless, permission was given for these families to continue making these private donations, meaning it was such a privilege, it was such a right, that they had to offer karbanos, so specifically the wood that they offered, so that the Nevi'im said, you know what, you can continue doing so even if we do end up having enough money. So, that Mishnah in Tanis is a clear demonstration that a private donation could be converted into public usage. So Amar Rabbi Acha, so now the Amora Rabbi Acha says, yeah, that Mishnah in Tanis, Rabbi Yosihi. So after having been introduced to our Mishnah over here in Shkalim, the beginning of the fourth Perek, so it sounds pretty clearly that Mishnah in Tanis is going like the Shita Rav Yossi, where a private donation can be used for public funds. Rav Yossi Omer, because the Gemara now quotes our Mishnah, Afa Rotzim is Nadev Shomer Chinam. Somebody who wants to can donate their private, now in our Mishnah in Shkalim, it's private services, which then will translate into private barley and private wheat that's going to end up used for a carbon zebra. But the idea is that according to Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to. You're allowed to take a private donation converted into public funds. So the Mishnah and Shkalim seems to be going in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. That's the easiest way to present it. The Gemara says, you know, that is an easy way to present it, but I'd be much happier if the Mishnah in Tanis is not just limited to the Shita of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi in our Mishnah is just a Das Yachid. Is it possible that the Mishnah over there in Tanis can also be going like the Chachamim? Well, that's the Gemara now here in the Yushami, giving us at least a possibility, opening the door. Rav Yossi b'shem Rabbi Eli. Now, this is admittedly confusing. This is Rav Yossi the Amora, who says in the name of Rabbi Eli, Divrei Hakolhi. Now, the Mishnah in Tanis actually follows everyone's position and is not just limited to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Ma pligim, because when do we have a machlokis here in Shkalim begufo shel karbon? That's talking about the actual carbon itself, where according to the Chachamim, a private carbon, meaning the actual goods for the carbon itself, the animals for the carbon, the wheat and the barley for the mincha, the gufo shel karbon. So that's where we have a machlokas in our Mishnah, v'machshirin carbon. But here in the Mishnah in Tanis, we're talking about eitzim, we're talking about wood. That's not the actual carbon itself. That's just simply a means of burning the carbon. So kol ama modishu mishtana carbon yach carbon sibor. There is agreement between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim in terms of a private donation being able to be used for public good. Good. So what we have over here in our Gemara Yerushalmi here on Shkalim and Daf Yud is a machlokus amongst the Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael as to whether the Mishnah and Tanis is limited to only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, or it could even be going like the Chachamim. We're going to see the Gemara do this now two more times to Tani. Isha she'asa ketanus livna. Let's say a woman who's really proud of her son is the Kohen Gadol, and she actually wants to make the beged for her son, the Kohen Gadol. So k'shero v'avachitim seron l'tzibor. So she can go ahead. She can now make her son one of the begadim of the Kohen. However, the begadim of the Kohen, so he is a public servant. The begadim that he wears, which is part of the avoda, so that needs to be purchased with public money. So mom can make it for her son. Now, obviously, mom paid for it out of her own pocket. So the let's call this a braisa. So the braisa says that mom could do so. However, she has to make sure that when she gives it to her son, she first donates it to public usage, and then that would be, and then and only then would it be acceptable. So once again, that braisa that we just learned together, Amar Rabbi Achi, Rabbi Yossi, he, Rabbi Achi is insistent that too is the Shita Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi, Amar Afarosim, it's not Divshom Mechinam. That's the Mishnah here in Shkalim, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So what, again, it's the same basic idea, that only if you're comfortable with a private donation being used for public goods and being able to be converted to public usage, like the Shita Rabbi Yossi, so the braisa is following his position. But the Chachamim would not be happy with that. And the Chachamim would say that as proud as mom is, mom cannot make a private donation and convert it into public usage. And Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Eli, and again, the same thing. Rabbi Yossi the Amora says, no, not necessarily. Divrei Hakol he, that Braisa could be going both like Rabbi Yossi and like the Shita of the Chachamim. Because Ma Pligi, because again, what's the Machlokus? Between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim here in our Mishnah Shkalim Begufah Shel Karbon, that's only talking about the actual carbon itself. Of Abba Machshirin Karbon, Kol Am HaModesh Hu Mishana Karbon Yachal Karbon Sibur. Everyone's going to be in agreement that it can be converted from a Karbon Yachal to a Karbon Sibur. Well, let's do this one more time. We are going to go back to what we learned in that Mishnah and Tanis, Masisa Pligi al Rabbi Yossi. So we're going to learn now a Braisa together that's not going to be in agreement with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi the Amora. Meaning Rabbi Yossi and the Amora is trying to make a distinction between something used for the carbon itself, where the Chachamim are of the position that you cannot convert a private donation to public usage. But when it comes to Machshirin, when it comes to something which is accessorizing, like the wood, like the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, so there, what Rabbi Yossi, the Amora, wants to suggest is, there is no debate here in our Mishnah between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara now wants to demonstrate that that's going to be very hard to argue. Why? Because of the following Braisa. Osan Ayamim, Nohagim Mishas Karban, Vishol Mishas Karban. So on these 9 calendaric days, we didn't point out the names of the families who donated, nor do we point out what days of the year do they offer? But all we need to know right now is that there were 9 families and they were assigned specific dates. On those dates, for these families, it was a personal yontif. They just made a significant donation to the Beis HaMikdash. It was a tremendous chus for this family. It was a yontif for those families on those dates. So here in the Braisa, a really interesting debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, obviously, it's a Braisa, as to whether or not they treat it like a yontif, even if there was no Beis HaMikdash. According to the Tanakhama, Osan Hayamim, Noagim B'Shas Karban, V'Shalom B'Shas Karban, the Tanakhama says that these dates turned into personal yontifs for these families, whether there was a Beis HaMikdash or even if there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash. Meaning even after Churban Beis HaMikdash, these days for these families still served as personal yontifs, which is a really, it's an interesting position. It's certainly a difficult position, meaning if they're not actually making the contribution, they're still going to treat it like a personal yontif. Okay, but that's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Einam Nohagim Ela B'Shas Karban Bavad. Rabbi Yossi's of the position that no, that the days were treated like a personal yontif, but only during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, not after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. At least here in the Braisa, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so the families that donated on the day of their donation, it served as a personal yontif. Now, if what you're describing, the offering, the donation of wood, is just an accessory, which is what Rabbi Yossi the Amora wanted to do, it's hard to imagine that for them now it's a personal yontif. Personal yontif, and it was when you're offering an actual carbon. Over here, if wood is an accessory, and we're just going to treat it like some sort of second-level donation, so it's hard to imagine that it would justify a yontif. Now, for a number of times already, I've been describing it as a yontif. What's the big deal that we're calling it a yontif? So stay tuned, because we're going to see it right now. But at least right now, it's pretty clear that the donation of wood is more than just offering an accessory. It's offering an offering. V'odmin adad d'tanya, the Gemara says, and also consider now the following braisa. We learned this braisa also in Masechta Tanis. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Rabbi Tzadok, Anu Hayinu Mibnei Sina Ben Binyamin. So we were of the family of Sina. I'm probably mispronouncing, but Sina'a, whatever. We were the family of Sina Ben Binyamin. And this family actually made a donation. In other words, they were one of the 9 families. And it happens to be that the calendaric date in which they offered was the 10th day of Av. Interesting, of course, one day after the 9th of Av. The 9th of Av obviously is a fast day, but their day that they donated was the 10th of Av. Does the 9th of Av ever fall out on the 10th of Av? It sounds like a funny question, but we all know the answer. The answer is yes. If Tisha B'Av falls out on the Shabbos, then what happens is that Tisha B'Av gets pushed off to Asar B'Av. It's observed on the 10th day of Av. So what happens now to this family who are celebrating a personal yontif on a day which is designated as a fast day? Now, parenthetically, just not something we're going to discuss, but a really interesting point, and that is that when the when you had the second base of Mikdash, that was for over 400 years, right? According to Amrus, over 420 years. So for each one of those years in the base of Mikdash, you had a Tisha B'Av. So did they observe Tisha B'Av during Bayit Sheni? So it sounds like from our Gemara, the answer is unequivocally yes, they did. They observed it, meaning even though they had a base of Mikdash, there was still an observance of Tisha B'Av. That is in of itself an interesting point. It actually is a debate amongst the Rishonim, but at least from our Gemara over here, the answer seemingly is yes. Anyway, despite all that, the point we're going to make is the following. So now you had an intersection of a day of joy and a day of mourning, meaning that when Tisha B'Av becomes a Nidcheh, gets pushed off to the 10th, and you are this family making a donation established by the Nevi'im at the beginning of Bayit Sheni, that this day for you is going to be personal Yontif. So what happens when you now have a conflict between a day of mourning and a day of Yontif? So here the Braisa tells us exactly what happened with this particular family. So v'dachina osolamotzei Shabbos v'hainim esayinim v'lo meshlimim. So testimony given by a member of this family that they would start the fast like everyone else would because it's a day of mourning, but they wouldn't finish the fast. They would break the fast sometime in the middle of the day because, once again, of the conflict. So they basically observed some of the day of mourning, but not all the day of the mourning. So once again, the Gemara is basically highlighting, if offering wood is just an accessory and it's not considered making an actual offering, a carbon offering, so then how can you justify not fasting on Tisha B'Av with the rest of Klal Yisrael? It must be that their personal yontif is such a strong yontif, i.e. the contribution of wood is carbon-like, so that way the conflict exists, and the pshara and the compromise they arrive to is part of the day and morning and part of the day they're eating and they're enjoying their personal yontif. So all these two prices that we just learned seem to really refute the idea that there's some sort of distinction between the donation of an actual carbon itself versus the donation of something like wood. Okay, Adkan, the Gemara ends that discussion, and although we try to set up the Mishnah and Tanis like the position of Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, the Gemara finds it very hard to do, and it seems like from the conclusion here in the Yerushalmi, those Mishnayos and Tanis seem to be going like the Shita of Rav Yossi, not like the Shita of the Chachamim. So what am I purchasing with the Trumas Alishka? So the carbon seabor, and we're just going back to the Mishnah. The carbon omer, the she'alechem, the lechem apanim are all purchased with the Trumas Alishka. Now we have in parentheses, and I'll read it, but it probably is a little bit misplaced. But anyway, Masisin to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ina Omer, Ba Min Asuria, the carbon Omer doesn't come from Syria, right? I'll explain all that better in just a moment. Taman Taninan, we're going to come back and explain that line a lot better. But first, what we're going to do is we're going to learn a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Menachos. Kol Karbanos HaYachid VaTzibor, Ba Min HaArtz, Min HaChutzarz, when it comes to carbon Yachid, when it comes to carbon Tzibor, so the animal or the grains can come from inside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Animals, by the way, right, are not connected to the land as much as the grain is connected to the land. Really, the focus over here is more on the grains. But anyway, min echadosh min hayashan, from the new crop, from the old crop, chutz min haomer v'she'alechem, with exception to the carbon haomer and the she'alechem. She'ein b'ayim ela min echadosh min haaretz. When it comes to both the omer and the she'alechem, and it has to be coming from grains grown in Eretz Yisrael, and also has to be from the new grains of this year. Remember, the carbon omer is the matir, meaning we're not allowed to eat any grains of that grew over the winter until the carbon omer is brought. So by definition, the carbon omer is brought from chadash, converting all the chadash into yashan. The carbon omer is actually the matir. The shtei alechem, same thing, it also is serving as a matir. Why do I need a matir just 50 days later if we already had a matir on with the bringing of the carbon omer? Because with the bringing of the shtei alechem on Shavuos, so that now serves as a matir, where now all the grains that grew in this past season can now be used even for menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, what comes out over here is that we see clearly in that Mishnah in Menachos that the grains have to come from Eretz Yisrael. So now, Rav Chuna b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, now we're going to say it. So the Amora Rav Chuna says that that Mishnah in Menachos is Rabbi Yishmael. It's a sheet to Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbi Yishmael Amar Eino Omer Ba'ela Min Asuria. That the carbon omer can only come, the carbon omer cannot come from Syria. Now, what is Syria? So Syria is the next part, of Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech conquered Syria, but it's Kivush Yachid. In other words, he did not have a national mandate to go ahead and to conquer and annex Syria, right? Yoshua, hundreds of years earlier, did have a national mandate to go ahead and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael now, obviously, is property has the status of Eretz Yisrael. But hundreds of years later, when David HaMelech goes in and conquers Syria, so it's Kivush Yachid. He does so as a king, but not as a national mandate. Therefore, the lands of Syria do not have the full status of Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yishmael says, and therefore, the grains that grew in Syria, you cannot use them for the Karban Omer. The Mishnah in Menachos is clearly going like the Shita Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Taman Tanina. The Gemara says, let's do that again. Esther Kedusha saying the Mishnah here in Kalim, one of the first Mishnahs in Kalim. The Mishnahs in Kalim in the first parak, 30 prakim in total. But the first parak just goes over some of the larger points, notably the levels of Kedusha that are found. And Eretz Yisrael, and we're just taking a snippet of that Mishnah. Eretz Yisrael Mikedusha, Mikola Arotzitz, Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than all other lands. The Kedusha is expressed in the manner in which the carbon omer and the barley for the omer, the wheat for the bikurim, the wheat for the she'alachem. So they all have to come from Eretz Yisrael. They cannot come from outside Israel. So that's the Mishnah in Kalim. And again, Rabbi Chuna, Rabbi Chia, B'Shem, Rabbi Yirmiyah. So we're going to make the very same observation, which is Rabbi Yishmael. That's the Shita Rabbi Yishmael. The Rabbi Yishmael Amar Eino Omer Ba Min Asuria. Okay. So, and let's do this now a third time. Taman Taninan. We have another Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Shvi'is. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Macha Rish Rishos Af Kitzir Rishos. Yatza Kitzir Omer Shuhu Mitzvah. Before we get to the next point. What plowing are you not allowed to do? What harvesting are you not allowed to do? Now, if you look at the pasuk, so it's talking about Shabbos, right? Sheshes yamim tavod. This is in Parshas Kisisa. Sheshes yamim tavod. V'yamashi tishbos becharish bekatzir tishbos. So you work for 6 days, and on the seventh day you rest. And this is one of the unique pesukim in the Torah that actually describe some of the malachos on Shabbos. There are 39 malachos in total. The Torah does not articulate all 39 malachos. We know it's part of Torah Shabbat Peh, but the Torah over here highlights Charisha and Kitzira, both plowing and harvesting. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now, these are activities that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos when they are voluntary, meaning they don't result in a mitzvah. However, if it's a harvesting which is a mitzvah, i.e. you need to do so for the Omer. What does that mean? It means that calendaric year, so the first day of Pesach falls on a Friday in our fixed calendar, that would never happen, right? Lo badu nisan, if you understood that, great. If not, on another occasion, I'll explain. But anyway, but before the calendar was fixed, it's possible that the first day of Pesach falls on a Friday, which means then that the second day of Pesach, which is the Omer, the day the Omer is brought, it comes down to Shabbos. When's the harvesting of the Omer? Motzei Yantav Rishon, which happens to also be a Motzei Shabbos. Are you allowed to harvest? And the answer, according to Rabbi Yishmael, is yes. We learn it out from that pasuk. Yatza Kitzir Omer Shu Mitzvah. The Kitzir Omer, the harvesting of the Karban Omer, which is a mitzvah. So that goes ahead and overrides the Shabbos. And not only does it go ahead and override the Shabbos, it's also going to override the Shemitah year as well. During the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to harvest during the Shemitah year. Yeah, that's for Rishus. That's only if it's voluntary, but if it results in a mitzvah, you're allowed to do so. And now the Gemara says this goes in alignment with what we just got done saying. Rabbi Yishmael bedate de Rabbi Yishmael d'amar in Omer ba min Asuria. Kedai te d'amar yatsa kitzira Omer shuhu mitzvah. So now this is consistent with Rabbi Yishmael's position, because Rabbi Yishmael says that the grains have to come from Eretz Yisrael. They cannot be imported from outside of Eretz Yisrael. You can't get it from Syria. And that means to say now that just like Rabbi Yishmael is going to, it puts us in a position where we're forced to violate Shemitah. Shemitah, you're not allowed to plow. You're not allowed to harvest. But just like the mitzvah of Omer allows us to override the Isurim of Kitzir when it comes to the, when it comes to Shvius and Shemitah, so too it allows us to override the Shabbos as well, right? Interesting. The Gemara over here is drawing a really clear parallel between the Isur Kitzira as it relates to Shemitah and the Isur Kitzira as it relates to Shabbos. But again, the point over here is effectively the same point, which is that it's going like the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. So Mantan Hashem Itzvichas Bishvias Nolin Schar Mitzumas Alishka. So now the Gemara now says, what about our Mishnah? Right? So these three points that we just made, that these Mishnahs throughout Shas, the Mishnah in Menachos, the Mishnah in Kalim, the first parak of Kalim, the Mishnah in Shvias. So all these Mishnahs go like Rabbi Shmuel. What about our Mishnah? So that's exactly the Gemara, where the Gemara wants to bring us all to. So Mantan Hashem Itzvichas Bishvias Nolin Schar Mitzumas Alishka, the idea that we're paying watchmen to make sure that there is barley and wheat for this year, meaning the Shemitah year's Karban Omer, and the Shemitah year's Shtei Alechem. So who is that going like? So presumably it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning why are we paying watchmen? If in fact we're allowed to import grains, so on the Shemitah year, I have a really simple solution, and that would be to import grains. By virtue of the fact that that's not on the table in our Mishnah here in Shkalim, makes it sound like that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel as well. So I'm Rabbi Yusa, so once again. So this is now the Amora Rabbi Yossi saying, Divrei HaKol Hi, no, not necessarily. Really, the Mishnah could be following. It's not just limited to the Shita Rabbi Shmuel, could be going like other Tanaim as well. That there really is an option to import. Well, if that's true, so then why aren't we importing during the Shemitah year? So Lo Masa Besuria Mivian, O Sons Mitzvah Fichin Shevaret Yisrael. So the Gemara gives just a very pragmatic approach to our Mishnah. Meaning that if importing would be an option, so then we would import. It just happens to be that this particular Shemitah year, there's no import, right? The all the importation is basically exhausted, and so therefore we have nothing to import. So that's why we need now to hire people to guard the fields in Eretz Yisrael, so that we could use the barley and the wheat that is growing naturally during the Shemitah year. Okay, so that's a pragmatic way to learn our Mishnah. Really, the simple pshat is our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Shmuel. But again, Rabbi Yossi would say that we can at least attempt to suggest that our Mishnah is not limited to the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. Continuing now in the Gemara. Hahin Omer Ma'ush Yizra B'tchila. Okay. It's the Shemitah year. We need barley and we need wheat for the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem respectively. Let's say we're looking around and there just simply is no natural growth. There's no sfichin. So the Gemara over here wants to know, would permission be granted during the Shemitah year to plant so that we will be able to have barley and wheat for the Omer and for the Shtei Alechem during the Shemitah year? So again, so harvesting the barley and harvesting the wheat would be fine. Planting during the Shemitah year and certainly working the land in order to grow it is generally out of the question. It's an Isser during the Shemitah year. But for the purposes of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, so the Gemara now wants to know, would that be possible? So, lo nimtza b'kol al hashiraim she'eino ne'echalim. So the, I missed the line. Rabbi Chiya bar Adda bai kumei Rabbi Mana. So lo nimtza b'kol al hashiraim she'eino ne'echalim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if I were to plant grains during the Shemitah year so that I would have the carbon of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. So the Gemara says, you know, we do arrive at a problem. So you know that anything that you plant during the Shemitah year is going to be Aser. The only peres that you're allowed to eat during the Shemitah year are fruit or grains that grow naturally without human input and without human involvement. But once you have somebody who is plowing and planting land during the Shemitah year, the resulting yield is going to be Aser. So you're telling me now that we're offering the Omer and the Shtei Alechem from grains that were planted during the Shemitah year? I don't understand. How could they be acceptable offerings if you're not allowed to eat it? So the Gemara's response, which you would imagine, is Amar Lei, Nasa Kechamisha Dvarim Shehem Baim Betumah Ve'Ein Echalim Betumah. Okay, there are going to be occasions where things are going to be offered in the state of Tumah, even though you can't eat it. Meaning, yes, under ideal circumstances, of course, we would like to offer a carbon that is that the Kohanim can eat the Shirayim. But under these circumstances, if you can't eat the Shirayim, the carbon still works. It's still an effective carbon. Okay. We talked about the washman getting paid from the Trumas Halishka. The remainder of this first Amud is just going to give us a very brief description of the of how exactly these workers are going to get paid. So Ketzer also no tamato amos min ashochani. So the Gemara's question over here is as follows. What are we going to do? We're going to take now the actual money of the Trumas Halishka and pay the guards. Now, why is the Gemara have this visceral reaction to what is clearly what the Mishnah's directive, which is that you're going to pay the guards with the machitz as a shekel money. What's the problem? Meaning that their guarding is providing now the carbon seabor, so therefore you're going to pay them with the machitz as a shekel. That's exactly the directive of the Mishnah. Why is the Gemara reacting? So the reason why is because generally speaking, when you are redeeming the money, in other words, the machitz as a shekel is kedusha. And when you're buying a carbon with it, what you're doing is you're transferring the kedusha from the coin onto the animal. Well, now the animal is imbued with that kedusha. So when coming to redemption, so the general rule is, we see this throughout Shas, is that you can redeem on goods, but you cannot redeem on services. When the guards are guarding, so yes, it's a service that they're providing. Now that service certainly has a value, and you're paying them for that service, but nevertheless, so in terms of redemption, there's no transfer of the kedusha because you're not transferring it from the money onto an object. You're only giving it to them, and the money still has kedusha. And if they make personal usage of that money, they're going to be mal behektish. That's the problem. So the Gemara now is going to give us a system, a method in which we can pay them, and at the same time also redeem the money as well. So how do you do that? So the Gemara now is going to give us the method in which this is going to happen. So no to amos min ashochani. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn to the money changers, and basically we're going to say, look, we have workers that we need to pay, right? In this particular case, we're talking about guards who are guarding the fields so that we can have the grains from the produce of that field during the Shemitah year. Anyway, but it's a service they're providing. So we turn to the money changers and we basically say, look, can you please finance the payment? Go ahead, put up the money and pay the workers. And the Beis HaMikdash says to these money changers, and we'll pay you back. And why is that important? We'll see. So Venosan Lakotsam Lashamim. And now the money changers are gonna be basically fronting the money. Achilo Yikrava Omer until the Omer is offered. Umevi Maus Mitrumas Alishka Mechan Alav. Now what we're gonna do is that we're gonna take the money from the Trumas Alishka and we're going to be mechalal it on the actual grains themselves. And so now that the Trumas Alishka is now Michulal, it's deconsecrated on the actual grains themselves. Now this money is going to be used to pay back the money changers who basically served as our financers. They were the ones who financed they put up the money to pay the guards. So the Gemara says v'tavas kain. The Gemara says yeah, but I'm struggling. Says the Gemara to imagine that. And the Gemara's question over here is really asked concisely. The way the Tiklun Chadaten explains it is that it's just really difficult to imagine that the service is rendered and the money due to the guards are going to be equivalent to that of the actual grains themselves. And over here, what we're going to do is that we're going to be basically using the deconsecrated funds that we deconsecrated onto the actual grains themselves in order to pay the workers. It's not going to be equivalent. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Ba, komash yitain hein dam of mishar rishona. So the Gemara's answer seems to be that it is going to be equivalent. Not really, not totally clear how the Gemara answered the question, but the Gemara says basically it can serve as an equivalency. Tana af bepischei avanim kain. The Bryce over here is just going to give us another example of this structure, in which you have somebody who provided services to the Beis HaMikdash, and how are they going to get paid with hektish money? Because the money's not going to get deconsecrated. So Ketzadu says, so for the workers, we're talking specifically about stone workers over here. So it's the same give and take. So first of all, the procedure. No, Tomas Mishachan Benosin Lachotzim Ulisa Sasin. So what we do is that the money changers are going to be serving as financers. They're going to finance the, and they're going to front the money to the workers, pay the workers. Ashalotinasin Agabe Hadimus, until the actual stones now are put into place. Mishenitzen Aladimus, once the stones are put into place as the actual edifice of the Beis HaMeitash. So maybe Maus Mishumas Alishka Mechan Alaha. So you take money from the Chumas Alishka. Now, just as a really technical point, if you're really holding in Shkolim, this also needs a bit of a girsa change, because the Chumas Alishka is used to buy the Karbanos. So over here, the proper girsa should probably be the Shayare Halishka, the leftover in the chamber. Anyway, okay, if you got that, it's great. You're right where we're really holding in Shkolim. So anyway, so you're going to use the Shayar Lishka and deconsecrate it onto the actual stone itself. And then now with this deconsecrated money, you're going to go in and pay back the financiers, the money changers. So Vitavus came in again, the same back and forth over here. And the Gemara's basic question is, really? Meaning their services are now going to be matched by the actual stones themselves. So Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Bon B'Shem Shmuel, and the Gemara says, yeah, it's going to be equivalent, it's going to be the same. Again, not totally clear what was the exchange, what was the question, what was the answer, but okay, the Gemara says it does in fact work out. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the first half of today's daf, second half of today's daf, the Amud Beis. Here we are now in the fourth parak. We are learning today now the second Mishnah of this parak, and we're now going to be talking about further allocations of the funds. The para duma, and the seer mishalech, the goat that sent off on Yom Kippur, and lashon shel zahoris, and the strip of red wool. So by mitzvah lishka. So these are all not perfect karbanos, but enough of a carbon where the funds that are going to be used in order to buy it are going to be coming from chumas alishka, right? Obviously just wait 1 second. Let me first finish, and then for sure ask me after. The paradum and the sira mishtaleach are going to even though they're not carbonus offered on the mizbeach, but nevertheless they're considered enough of a carbon sibor where the funds that are going to be used are being purchased from the chumas alishka, and also the lashon shel zaharis, the red wool. We'll describe that in more detail. But if you remember Mishnayos and Yuma, red wool is tied to the horns of the goat of the seer mishalech. Half of it is, the other half is on the edge of the cliff. Okay, we'll talk more about that in just a minute. So that'll come from the chumas alishka. And now, kevish parah, what about the ram for the parah aduma? So we're going to be learning a couple times in the Bavli. It comes up, I think, in the beginning of Yuma, but certainly comes up in the second parak of Sukkah, where a ramp is made so that when the parah aduma is going to be move. It goes over the ramp. The ramp ensures that it's not above any type of tumas mace. Not for now. Anyway, a further description of it will come at a later point in time. And also, the kevish siyar mishalech, the ramp for the siyar mishalech, they made a ramp so that when the goat travels from the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur to the edge of the cliff, so there was a ramp that allowed easy transit. And the lashon shebein karnav, and the strip of wool, so the amos amayim, and a water canal that was used in the azara, the chomos eir migdalaseh, the chol tzarche ha'ir, and the walls of the city, and the towers, and any needs of the city. So by mishayar elishka, all these things are being purchased with not the trumas elishka, not the withdrawn money that's withdrawn three times a year, but rather anything left over in the lishka. So this is what's called the Shayare Halishka. And so now, since these items that we just described are not karbanos, are not even quasi-karbanos, but rather it's infrastructure, so for that you're going to be using the Shayare Halishka. Abishal Omer, Kevish Para. Abishal is of the opinion that when it comes to the ramp of the Parah Aduma, Kohanim Gedolim Osim Mishal Atma, it was the Kohen Gadol themselves who would be funding that project. We'll discuss more details of that in tomorrow's daf. Moser Shayare Lishka Mahayu Asim Bahen. Now, when it comes to any leftover of the Shayare Halishka, so what is done with that money? Meaning, so now, We've already done the truma. We have basically already used the shayare lishka, any leftover money, and there happens to be a surplus. So what do I do with the surplus money? So lochem em yenish man v'slasos v'haschar lehektish div Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel has a really interesting opinion in terms of what's done with the, with that excess fund, with that surplus fund, and that is that you capitalize. So you go into a capital venture, you buy wine, oils, and flour, you buy low, you sell high, and basically you capitalize, you make money. So this is the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel basically says is that you're allowed to take public funds, and you can try to make a profit of the capital funds. Now, obviously, this is really controversial, meaning we're going to see it in just a moment with Rabbi Akiva, but it's really controversial, right? Anyone who's on a board of a nonprofit organization, so this comes up all the time, where you have some sort of trust, you have some sort of fund, and the question always comes up, right? How should we invest it? Okay, so anyway, Rabbi Shmuel clearly is of the position that you could be aggressive and you could take the surplus money and you could make a business out of it and look more power and literally more money to the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Akiva, Amrei Mistakrim V'Shal Hektish. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you are not allowed to do that. You cannot make profit with Hektish money and Afla Mishal Aniyim. And if you happen to be also a trustee of an account for the poor, also you can't take that money. You can't try to turn a profit, even with the best of intentions. But obviously, you're basically exposing that money. You're risking the money, and you can't do that. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva takes a much more conservative attitude regarding the money of the Beis Hamikdash, even though we're talking about surplus money. And any funds that are towards the poor. Moser, Chumamayos, and Bob, we go back to the Mishnah. We are now describing what happens now with any surplus. Surplus specifically of the Truma. So again, as we learned in the first Mishnah in our Perek, so the Truma money is used to buy carbon seabor, but at the end of the year, it turns out that there's a surplus. What do I do with the surplus of the Truma? So what do we do with it? So the Mishnah says, Rikui Zav Tzipula Beis Kadosh HaKadoshim. So we know that the interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is gold plated. The gold plating needs to be renovated on some sort of schedule. So the funding for that is coming from the Moser of the Truma Salishka. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Moser appears Ketzem Mizbeach. Rabbi Shmuel over here now is arguing with an earlier Tana of our Mishnah in terms of what are we going to be doing with the with the balance of the truma, with the surplus of the truma. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Moser Aperus Ketzem Mizbeach, that what we're going to do is that we're going to take any of the surplus of the peros and we're going to use it towards Ketzem Mizbeach. Now, when we say peros, what are we talking about over here? So presumably this is Rabbi Shmuel Lishita. So we just learned in this very Mishnah that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can now profit. So what do I do now with the gains of that profit? So so according to Rabbi Shmuel, Ketzem Mizbeach, the slow time in the Beis Hamikdash, you're going to be buying karbanos tzibor for the slow times in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Moser, Trumala, Ketzem Mizbeach. And here and now, according to Rabbi Akiva, any residual of the truma is going to go towards Ketzem Mizbeach, Moser Nisachim, Likli Sharus, if we have any surplus of Nisachim that goes towards the purchasing of a Kli Sharus, any of the utensils used in the Beis Hamikdash. And Rabbi Hananya, Sigana Kohanim Omer, Moser Nesachim Ketzem Mizbeach, any surplus of the Nesachim are going to go towards the slow time in the Beis Hamikdash, or providing more karbanos for that time, and Moser Truma Kli Sharis, and the Moser Truma is going to go to the Kli Sharis. Zevezelo Ayu Modim Eperos. Neither Rabbi Akiva nor Rabbi Hananya would be in agreement with Rabbi Shmuel that you can go ahead and you can profit. And therefore, both according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hananya, there's not going to be a payros fund because they just simply dismiss the idea altogether that you can turn around and take the surplus money and make a business out of that surplus money. Okay, we have a lot more to do in order just to finish up, so I'm just gonna plow ahead. Kevish Parah. When it comes to the ramp of the Parah Duma, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'Shem Rabbi Yonasan, Shal Shoshana Zain, three strips of wool that are used in the Beis Hamikdash, Shal Seir B'Stela, The one used for the seer on Yom Kippur was the weight of a seller, shel metzora b'shekel. The one used for the metzora, which did not need to be as weighty, so therefore it was only the weight of one shekel, half of a seller, and shel parah b'shtei selayim. Now when it comes to that of the parah aduma, it had to be heavy because it had to go into the fire, so therefore it was two selayim. Rabbi Chunya dibras chivrin, Rabbi Ba bar Zavda b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Chalavta, shel parah b'shtei selayim amechza. So an alternative viewpoint in terms of the parah aduma strip of red wool, it had to be 2.5 selayim. Now another way to say 2.5 selayim, the east amre lishna basara zuz, it's 10 zuzim. Each zuz is equivalent to a dinar, so you take 10 of them, so that gets you to 2.5. It's just another way of saying 2.5. So why is the Gemara have this as another version? So the simplest way to say it is just simply because that's his Masara in terms of the correct way to say it. And anyway, Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Tamid Chacham Amalam de Masakonim Hilchos Shchita Hilchos Kabbalah Hilchos Rika. So in order to be a Kohen, so you had skills that you need to learn how to shecht, how to do Kabbalah, how to do Zrika. So you had educators. These educators were paid from the Shumas Alishka. Note Meskarim Shumas Alishka. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Redifa b'shem Rabbi Imi Mevakre Muma Kachim Nolim Scharim Shumas Alishka. Anyone who was examining for a mum, so again, that is a skill, that's a service, and so that their time is going to be paid from the Shumas Alishka. Rabbi Acha Rabbi Tanchum Barchia b'shem Rabbi Simlai Magiyei Sefer Azar Nolim Scharim Shumas Alishka. Any sofer who came in to check. And if necessary, correct the Sefer Torah that was in the Azara. So again, that's a service that he's providing. So that's going to be paid from the Chumas Alishka. Gido bar Binyamin b'shem Rabbi Asi Shnei Dayan Gzeles Notlim Scharim Chumas Alishka. You had judges in Yerushalayim. They're called Shnei Dayan Gzeles. The Gemara in Ksuvos goes over who they were in and what kind of cases they adjudicated. But again, their time and the money that is paid for their time, so that's coming from Chumas Alishka. Shmuel Amar Nashim Harogos Beperochus Nolim Scharim Chumas Alishka. According to Shmuel, women who are embroidering the curtains for the Beis Hamikdash, so their services are being paid from Chumas Alishka. Rabbi Chuna Amar Mitchumas Berek Abayis, and Rabbi Chuna on this last point disagrees and says no, that the women are paid with a different fund, not with the Lishka fund, but rather Chumas Berek Abayis. It's a different fund altogether. General upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. It's its own separate fund. So Ma Palik, what's the point of dispute over here between the opinions of Shmuel and Rabbi Chuna? So Shmuel Avalei Ken. Now in our gear, so we have the word carbon. Probably should be kalim. That's a Geruz, the Geruz correction. So Shmuel says that the curtains are basically like a kalim, and a kli is paid for from the lishka. And Rav Chuna Avalei Kibinyan, where Rav Chuna is of the position that the curtains are more like infrastructure, like edifice, and that's paid for with money from the Bedek Abayis. Amar Rabbi Chizki Atana, Rabbi Yehuda, God Gedos, HaKetores, V'chol Karbanos Hatzibar Abayim Chumas Alishka. The Ketores and all other Karbanos are being paid for from the Chumas Alishka. Mizbeach Hazava V'chol Klishar Abayim Mimosa Nesachem. As far as the upkeep and the building of the gold mizbeach in the actual Beis Hamikdash and any of the kli sharis that's coming from the moser nesachim, the surplus of nesachim. I'll explain that tomorrow's daf much better what that is. Mizbeach olav aichav azar is bayim. Now we have girsa issues over here, but seemingly milishkas bedek abayis. The outer mizbeach, the one in the courtyard, and the heichal and the azara, that's all coming from bedek abayis. That's infrastructure. The chutz azaros buy in mishayare halishka. Anything outside of the azaros, so that's coming from shayare halishka, any leftover of the lishka. The hatini avnei Yerushalayim olam behem. Now the Gemara says, now there happens to be a brisa that says that the walls of Yerushalayim are subject to Me'ilah. Anyone who gets any kind of personal benefit from these walls is going to be in violation of the Me'ilah. If the funding for it is coming from Shayare Halishka, so why should it be that there is an Isra of Me'ilah? Isn't there only an Isra of Me'ilah on the Truma Halishka? V'chi yesh Me'ilah b'shirayim, so Kerebi Meir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we already saw earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara quickly reintroduces us to the Shita Rabbi Meir, that says Rabbi Meir is of the position that there is Me'ili even by the Shirayim. Rabbi Meir, Amar Mo'alem, B'Shirayim. Amar Rabbi Chia, Klum Amar Rabbi Meir, Ela B'Soch Shnaso. The Gemara does not love this approach, because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the Shayare Halishka is subject to Me'ila, but only in that year. But over here, we're talking about using leftover money of a past year for the purposes of infrastructure. So even Rabbi Meir would be of the position that if it's not a current year, it's not going to be subject to Me'ila. And it's a funny place to stop, but this is where we're going to stop. And tomorrow we'll pick it up from Amar Rabbi Chizkiya. Okay, I know it's a lot of daf. It's a lot to cover. But basically, let's just quickly review the daf. So we opened up here the fourth parak of the Masechta. Trumas Alishka is used for carbon seabor. That's the first Mishnah in a really quick nutshell. On the first amud of today's daf, so we covered three basic topics. Number one, can a private donation be converted to public funding? So Rabbi Yossi is very comfortable with that idea. In our Mishnah here in Shkalim, the Chachamim say no, that a private donation cannot be converted into a public carbon. And the Gemara notes that there seems to be Mishnahs throughout Shas that are only going like Rabbi Yossi and not going like the Chachamim. The Gemara tried to give an alternative explanation. That's number one. Number two, the Shita Rabbi Shmuel, that the Omer and the Shtei Alechem can only be provided by grains that grew in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara now notes that there are a number of Mishnahs throughout Shas, Mishnah in Kalim, Mishnah Menachos, Mishnah in Shavis, that seem to be going only like the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. Again, the Gemara tried to argue on that point as well, but that was our second discussion. And finally, our last discussion, how do you take the Machatis HaShekel and deconsecrate it onto services? There is no chilul on services. Chilul is only on actual goods themselves. So the Gemara gave us a system in terms of how to deconsecrate the money on goods and at the same time being able to pay the services for anyone who's providing a service to the Beis HaMikdash. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, a really complex and detailed account. It's not complicated, but a real detailed account of various funding and what it's serving as allocation for. And clear, I mean, basically it's tax code, right? And it really requires a lot of review. I'm speaking to myself right now. It requires a lot of review to try to keep everything straight in terms of which town is of the position of which funds is going to be paying for carbonos and Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash and infrastructure and which funds are going to be providing that. And then on the Amud Beis, we also saw a really fundamental machlokes amongst the Tanaim, Rabbi Shmuel, against Rabbi Akiva, against Rabbi Hananya, in terms of whether or not there's any surplus money and whether or not we could be aggressive with that surplus money and try to capitalize on it and make profit with it. Rabbi Shmuel is comfortable with that idea. And meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hananya rejects that idea out of hand.